Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Thank you very much, Mikey, for holding it up until now. And from here, relax, don't worry. I'll take it from here. And, well, Michael is always here to walk you guys through the daily headline, especially when Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, when we have the e-villager, which you can subscribe to if you haven't already, and that is by sending your the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 081-200-4144. And before you start judging my voice, I've been told clearly, well, the change in seasons is nothing unheard of, actually, for some reason. I find it, you know, very masculine and awesomely sexy when it's being invaded by flu. But nonetheless, we're just, you know, so in other words, I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts. Because, well, we, as we all know, those of us that are regular listeners of Mind the Gap, Home Run in the Afternoon, or any of those ones, or any of those two shows, or both, then you are aware that after the end of, at the end of flu season, my mosquito voice returns, and I like that guy too. Now, well, Michael walks you through the headlines in a serious way, and when I come here, it's not serious at all, and also I happen to love history more than, well, current headlines and whatever it is that we have in headlines. Plus, that's what's taking place. Well, you can imagine, you have it in newspapers, you have it in social media, you have it on pretty much every radio station you have. Now, because I'm, you know, call me media renegade in a way, not 100% as in the literal sense of the word renegade, but more like I like to break protocol here and there. And I was just scrolling through social media during the weekend when I came across one video of one gentleman that said, here is one hard fact that a lot of us don't want to face when it comes to geopolitics. Geopolitics, when you look at it from a geopolitical level, the world is not ruled by law. It's ruled by power. Man, that statement is stuck in my head because it's actually true. International law, FIFA laws, whatever laws, any international body that governs a certain aspect of our life, you know that, well, it doesn't actually run on international law. It doesn't run on law. It runs on who has the most, well, muscles. Now, just a couple of days ago, Dwight and I had a topic on Home Run where we were talking about the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That, this is a discussion that was hosted, I think it was in London, by the International Atomic Energy Agency, where they were trying to look at because it's an international governing body, they are trying to figure out what is the best way to deter a lot of countries from pursuing nuclear weaponry. And now we have a double-edged sword here, because nuclear bombs are made out of enriched uranium, albeit at a very high percentage. But also, well, nuclear energy at a low, not the enriched one, obviously, is the one that's used to generate electricity. The problem is, even the waste product, what they call used fuel cells, to cool them down, you need to submerge them in a pool of water for about 6 to 10 years. That's just after spending, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 3 to 5 years. In a nuclear reactor. After 2 to 5 years in a nuclear reactor, when you take them out of there to sort of like rehabilitate them for them to be, just somewhat less dangerous. They'll still be dangerous when they get out of that pool, but they'll be less dangerous if you first cool them down. And it takes them, 6 to 10 years of submerging them into liquid for them to cool down. Holy cow. Man, that's a lot of anger. I know, anyone that have dated a short girlfriend, not a short boyfriend. No, we're not stubborn. We're just we're so cute and cuddly. But for some reason we almost always end up with tall girls that like heels. Man, I think that's a case that's given to us at some point, similar to the one that was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But I think this is scripture somewhere there that's just missing in the good book that says, you know, maybe there's something we did to a big guy upstairs, similar to what Adam and Eve did to the same guy. And except the difference is that the case of Adam and Eve is well documented. The case that, says that every short guy will end up with a tall girl who likes high heels. I'm sure there's a document out there that documents that case. That case. But because it's hard to convince me at this point that it's not a case. Because sooner or later, we more often, definitely talking from experience, find ourselves crashing. And for some reason, because, well, what we, what we lack in height, we make up for in confidence. We don't care how tall you are. Oh, if you're hot, we are asking for your number. Now, the only embarrassing thing is when I have to tilt my head upwards so I can see your face. And, well, out of the kindness of their hearts, this is why I like tall girls. Tall girls, on behalf of all the short guys, we love you. Because it never puzzles the, it never stops puzzling the community just how, every time that a short guy, takes a walk with his girlfriend down the street, everyone goes like, how the heck did he pull that off? It's called confidence, Baba. It's not, we may not be tall, but when it comes to confidence, we have some of that going for us. Yeah. Now, now that I'm done comparing, used nuclear fuel rod heat to short girls' stubbornness, let's get back to the, to how the world literally is run by power. Is run by power. Not power as in electricity. Power as in military power. Not in a national law. Now, what on earth are you talking about this morning? It's because if there's one thing that the Iran-Israel conflict... Now, of course, this started blowing up. The whole Western narrative control started blowing up slowly, for those of us that have been following it for a very long time, since 2011. Since 2011, actually the 2003, let's just go back to, let's go back to 1990 or 1991, with the NIDA testimony, and you have the, Operation Desert Storm in 1991, and you have, the Cochabamba Water Wars in Bolivia in 1999 and 2000. And this is where it sort of like the lid was being blown up on narrative control. And in war, narrative control is everything. If you can't control narrative, you may as well just stop fighting. Every empire crumbles when it loses its grip on narrative. Which is why if you look at billions of dollars that are invested in, that were invested in mainstream media for a very large part of the Western history, of Western history, you'll actually understand just how important narrative is. I think it was last week when I gave an example of North Face genius move to that, to that lady in New Zealand that made a video criticizing the North Face jacket she was wearing, which was marketed as waterproof, but then when she found herself in a pouring storm, she realized that it was not as waterproof as advertised. Now, to try sort of like preempt the disaster that was, you know, the impending disaster of that video if it had gone viral without North Face, sort of like, countering the negative image that video would have generated, what they did was actually genius. What they did was, before the video could generate, a lot of negative attention towards the company, North Face put a waterproof jacket on the chopper and met the girl in the mountains, gave her the jacket, and apologized. Actually, they just gave her a jacket. That was an apology enough. Now, what could have been a negative, a video that sent a negative attention for the company was turned by the company into positive news. Now, whoever is in charge of North Face marketing is a genius, because that was a brilliant move. Had they not acted that way, oh my God, we would be having a whole different conversation right now. Now, that way of thinking was actually, I think it's safe to say this, at this point that, North Face marketing team is on a whole another level of geniusness. At least way out of geniusness of Jaguar and Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light. I'm telling you, those guys, they blew it up big time. Now, let's just look at what are some of the points? What are some of the historical points, or more like historical stories that backs up why I totally agree with that gentleman's point of view of in the world, this world that we live in, if you want to thrive, you need an army. You don't want an army. No, you need one. You need one. One very easy example is anyone that have read the Opium Wars between China, France, and the British, you'll understand that negotiating is not something that the West is very good at. If you have an army, they're going to negotiate. If you don't have an army, they'll just bulldoze in. Now, what's a very simple example of this? Again, China calls as 100 years of 100 years of humiliation is actually that's how they lost Hong Kong in the first place, because the British were funneling in a lot, millions and millions and basically tons. They were funneling in tons of addictive drugs into the Chinese population. The Chinese emperor at the time said, well, all these things is just turning my population into zombies. Please stop bringing them in. I'm not saying stop trading with me. I'm saying bring into my country. That's something that is not addictive. And, of course, the British didn't listen. So then they started targeting these cargo ships that were carrying these addictive drugs and then banning them. Oh, my God, just on that, China was invaded. China was literally invaded for saying, please stop getting my people addicted to these drugs. So, because, this is how one thing that people don't miss, always miss about war now. That is more often looked at as a war between China and, China and Britain as a country. No. For you to understand, who funded that war, find out who stood the most to lose when the ships carrying opium were banned. That was not a state-owned company. Those were private companies that as you can imagine, influence a lot of British politics to the point of sending poor people's kids to go and kill other poor people's kids halfway across the planet. Now, when you look at it like that, you begin to realize just how much an army is needed. China would be invaded, I think, like 2-3 times, and they were forced to sign one agreement after another, that all these agreements were lopsided to the point where they had to give up Hong Kong for 100 years. And when you look at it like that, you understand why China is a nuclear power today. Why China is a force to be reckoned with today, not only in technology, but also nuclear power and military technology and manpower. Because they actually realize, anyone who, anyone, if anyone went through this, you know, went through the events of that the Chinese call 100 years of humiliation or the Opium Wars, they would have reacted the same way. Pretty much would have reacted the same way. They would have decided, you know what, the world we live in is a very terrible one. It turns out negotiating is a, you know, well, it's a lost art. Before you go out and negotiate, make sure you have an army. Because, well, if you are going to negotiate just based on pity and international law, no one is going to listen to you. I know. So when you look at it like that, you can't help but ask yourself one question. Are these guys that came together in 1945 to come up with the United Nations? I have one question. When they sat around the tables and basically draft all this international law to govern the global order without coming up with a, you know, with an army to back up that law, what the heck were they thinking? Like, what type of a fantasy world were they living in? Let me give you a very, you know, very simple example. Every country, including Namibia, has laws that the citizens must follow. And these laws have authorities, security, some, you know, one or two security clusters to enforce these laws. Take, for example, you have, for traffic laws, we have traffic law enforcement. Now, the level that the United Nations is at this point is, the United Nations as a whole, or basically every international body, the level they are at is, having an army. Picture this. You know, if you live in a country that has traffic signs everywhere, traffic laws everywhere, but they don't have the police to enforce those laws. Oh no, boy, are you looking at a lot of chaos. A lot of us have walked past the police car that is written law enforcement. It's because without them to enforce that law would be useless. You need some type of law enforcement agency to enforce any law. Because if you take out the police, the law is going to be broken left, right, and center because, well, the law cannot defend itself. It's not rocket science. Now, where am I going with this? Soccer lovers, fasten your seatbelt because today I decided to come for FIFA. FIFA is an international sports, at least soccer, governing body, which has a lot of spot-on laws when it comes to countries that do not adhere to international law. They ban them. Yeah. Actually, that's when you see that not all of them. At this point, you are going to, well, this guy just can't stop talking about Israel. Not really. Oh, we're going to get there. But before we get to all that, we are starting with 1976. We're going to Argentina, 1976. You see, this is from this is from the History Channel article. I like watching their documentaries, at least the old ones. The new ones, these ones have just gone. I don't know what to call it. When Argentina used World Cup soccer to whitewash its dirty war. Now, this is a rather fascinating story. And I have several of these stories actually for you. Don't worry. I have one for all the list of countries that have been banned by FIFA because of the country's violation of quote unquote international law. Before I just, you know, go any deeper, you know, on building an army. Okay, now, you have to understand this. I'm not one of those Africans that are looking forward to seeing Africa united into one country with one president. Absolutely not. No. Africa united under one president. The first question you're gonna have is, who the heck is gonna be the president? Because we have 50 plus states. And in each of these states, you have people that are kicking the heck out of each other, for the presidential spot. Now, imagine that taking place on a continental level. Nope. Absolutely not. So, I'm not an advocate of Africa uniting into one big country with one president. First of all, you have to understand just how much power that president is going to wield. And like one pop spewed some wisdom on that. Power corrupts. Power can corrupt. Power just in its way. Power on any level can corrupt. How many people do you know that were secretary at some point, and when they were elevated to the, not secretary per se. Let's go with secretary. Yeah, it's a comedy show after all. How many of us, how often, let me just go that direction. How often have we seen, a secretary that was doing some executive guy somewhere upstairs? And when she came in, she was very humble and nice because she was, but as soon as she started giving the executive guy's head under the table, she started running the company. And everyone was like, when did she become this powerful? Yeah, well, she has her own way of convincing the executive guy. May be unorthodox, but, well, works like a charm. Power can just corrupt. Each and every single one of us is incapable of staying sane in the face of ultimate power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's the reason why we came up with the three branches of the government. Because we knew that as much as we liked our kings, actually it was the French after this, you know, and you really have to respect the French on this one. They really tried anything to keep their royal guys in place. Nothing could work. You're talking about the guys that invented a guillotine, a machine that was solely made for separating the heads of, nation's leaders from their bodies. Like the French were like, you know what, they protested, it didn't work. And to this day, everyone knows that no one beats the French when it comes to protesting, or because they are very good at it. Others, when they protest around the world, they just run around, you know, set buildings on fire. No. The French will take one of those vehicles that are used to, in sewage disposal, fill it with sewage and then spray it on the parliamentary building. Now those are the French. Believe me when I tell you, when it comes to protesting, no one beats the French. That and walking around without clothes. No one beats the French. Speaking of China, we really need to go to France. You know, that's why I like human rights. It's our right to walk around topless. Oh, I'm backing you up. And by the way, ladies, if you're one of those people that think that men, if you're one of those people that think that men will oppose you, men will stand on your way. I've seen videos of these things. Of people, I've seen videos of women saying, now this is all, of course, is coming from the West, and it's having a lot of influence in Africa. Don't get me wrong. Boy, do I love it. Women saying, if a guy can walk around without a shirt, well, so can we. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And for that, I wholeheartedly on behalf of every straight guy, I totally agree with you. Please do it. Please, please, please. Commercial break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So, where was I? This way I begin to think that more on a gender level, we don't really know much about each other, because if women just understood how a man's brain operate, they would not advocate, they would not try to start a debate over, you know what, it's my right, if I want to walk around without a shirt, just let me walk around. First of all, there is not a single straight guy that's not related to you that will argue against you on that one. Those ones that are related to you will say, oh my God, you can't do that. Yikes, that would be terrible. But those of us that are not related to you, they'll be like, actually, it's your right. I mean, human rights is a very important. Chapter 3 should not be trifled with. I mean, it's your right. Just go ahead and take off that shirt. Boy, I love my gender. And I like to, one thing I like to point out is that we are not broken. We are not broken. No. Okay, maybe a little bit, but. We're not broken. We just, how do I put this? This is something I like to tell all those friends of mine that, and colleagues of mine that walks into a room looking smoking hot, and they, when you look at them, they go, "What are you looking at? Please stop looking at me." Like, when you look hot, if I didn't stare at you, if I did not look at you, if I did not drool, I would be very worried. If a smoking hot girl throwing stars as she walks past me, if she did not turn my neck, if that doesn't, the day that stops happening, I'm getting me a rainbow flag, because clearly something is broken. The fact that I'm twisting my neck 180 degrees shows me that, well, clearly everything is in check. So we are good. Confirmed. Well confirmed. Moving on. So let's get back to me making fun of, the FIFA guys. You see, when Argentina used the World Cup to whitewash its dirty wars. Now, when it comes to World Cup tournaments, host nations have long used the event as a host, as a giant diversionary tool. That's according to the History Channel guys article. Now, Whether the economy is sagging, that's in terms of South Africa, corruption scandals are raging, that's in terms of Brazil, or world bodies have have levied sanctions in response to illegal interventions like they did in Russia, the festivities can serve as a handy public relation veil to mask unpalatable geopolitical truths. As it's hardly a recent phenomenon, the World Cup has been a favorite plaything in political in politicians as decades and perhaps never so much as 1978 version held in Argentina. Now, the 1978 World Cup is a very fascinating one because just 1978 World Cup was held in the same year that Argentina had a coup. Now, in that coup, Isabel Perón, the president of Argentina was overthrown and then replaced, was overthrown with an allegedly Western-backed coup, which that's not allegedly at this point. The West backs pretty much every coup of, in when it comes to overthrowing any leader that stands in between them and their interest. Any leader in this world that does not stand, stand in between Western interest and the West and their interest, it doesn't matter how much genocide that leader commits. He's a democratically elected leader. But if it doesn't matter how democratic you came to power and how democratic you are running your country, if you stand in between Western, Western countries, basically Western private interest, Western private entities and their interest, they will use their country's politicians to call you a dictator through their mainstream media. Now, this is where private interest now is very important, because it's private interest that's paying political campaigns of the politicians that are calling you a dictator. It's private interest that are paying most of the mainstream media that are being used by the politicians to call you a dictator. So in this case, geopolitics then is a very ugly thing. It's not something the rosy thing that the most mainstream media try to mix it up to be. It's not that. Geopolitics is about lying. It's about accusing people that stand in your interest, between you and your interest, of anything imaginable. Including banning them, including banning them from international events. How many countries has the U.S. invaded? That list is very long. Really long. But, well, they've always participated in the World Cup. Why? It's because, well, most of the private entities that makes the World Cup operate in terms of financial backing are from the West. In other words, well, we make the rules, we can break them. I mean, it's like a father telling you, no one walks in my house in the middle of the night. And then he comes home at 3 a.m, totally wasted. In other words, well, I am your father. I can break these. But you can't, why? Because you are in my house. It's sort of like a twisted version of that. Except that one doesn't have, now. Now, let's go back to Argentina now, shall we? When the tournament kicked off in June of 1978, Argentina was in a thick, of its bloody military dictatorship, often referred to as the Dirty War. And it began just over 2 years earlier when the country's military leaders arrested the democratically elected president, Isabel Perón, and installed General, Rafael, Videla. And this is, Rafael Videla is, is like Augusto Pinochet and, and the Shah of Iran, by the way. These guys were full-blown dictators from day one. These guys were full-blown dictators. Media silencing, political opposition, opposition arrest, detention, murder, you name it, they did it. But their country kept, and these guys were, these guys had, dictators had, had a way of having, of staying in power for a very long time, which is hence the whole dictator thing. And, the point, the part that makes all this interesting is that, when you look at all the dictators that have, ruled. Let me just say 100% of dictators that have ever ruled for the, from the 20th, let me just say 20th and 21st century. One thing that you see is that they had an almost, interesting cozy type relationship. And it's been alleged that, it's been alleged that the whole, Iran, regime change, that seems to be like the language that's coming out of the Western government. Have you ever asked yourself, if Ayatollah Amani is out of power, who is going to take over the power? Mm-hmm. Now, this is where the allegations are now coming in. That, the West seems to have, just the right men for the job. On standby. You know, guess from which family he's coming from? The son of the Shah. You know, I bet this guy is gonna go full-blown dictator as soon as they get into power. You bet. Because again, geopolitics has nothing to do with global order. It has nothing to do with holding international law in place and making sure that you bring people to. And no, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with, well, it's those diamonds may be in your country, but if my company cannot have access to your diamonds, I will call you a dictator. Boy, I love geopolitics. Not from mainstream media type geopolitics, no, from history geopolitics. History is the best. Let's take a break. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Every time that you listen to any type of history, any type of story coming out of mainstream media, ask yourself one question. How did it get here? Because believe me, it didn't start yesterday. It started a long time ago. And it has, it has to do with interest. Nothing to do with global order. Nothing to do with global order. Nothing to do with women's rights. Nothing to do with LGBTQ rights. Now, I know you guys really like your rights. I love my rights. Which is why, I'm sitting in the studio making fun of pretty much people with more power and money. Because I have the right to do that. As long as I'm not violating that right, because rights and responsibilities go along. I know a lot of us yip a lot about it's my right, but we don't put in mind that rights comes with responsibilities. Your rights are my responsibilities and my rights are your responsibilities. You have the right to own a car. Therefore, it's my responsibility not to damage your car. It's my responsibility not to vandalize your car. So your car is my your right is my responsibility. My right is your responsibility. So in other words, if you take responsibility out of rights, it's going to remain pretty much useless. The reason why it's against the law for you to break into someone's house is because they have the right to own that property. They have the right to feel secure in their home. When you break in, you are violating that right in terms of feeling, of making them feel insecure and damaging their property. So, they send you to a place where you can't pick a soap without, some kind of log shoved in your behind. Congratulations, you win. Okay, now let's come back to Argentina. That is, that went south really fast. But, well, if you break into someone's house and that happens to you, in jail, you ask for it. Unless you enjoy it, then go ahead. But if you don't, my God, congratulations, you win. Moving on. Now, a severe authoritarian with a cold, staring eyes, Videla was not a fan of soccer. Which he found dull and pedestrian and interesting only as a symbol of popular transcendence. He rarely, if ever, watched the sport, but he also understood how immensely popular it was, a source of passion for millions.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Where was I? Geopolitics runs not on geopolitics doesn't run on law. Geopolitics doesn't run on law. It runs on power. In other words, the guy that has the muscles can violate the laws they made and get away with it, but anyone else that violates those laws is called all kinds of names under the sun. Now, by the way, before you start saying, oh no, my God, it's just America. Actually, all empires have operated. Unfortunately, all empires have operated like that. It's an imperial thing. Although China seems to be defying all those things. Before China rose to be forced to be reckoned with both militarily and economically, military and economic level it is today, it was seen as standard that for any country to have any kind of economic development, it needed to invade another country and steal the resources and basically blow up a bunch of people. Except China was like, actually, you can do that if you can just go to that country, sit and negotiate with those people. They're most likely going to be a bunch of corrupt idiots in that country that will give you the resources for free. But hey, you didn't kill anyone. You didn't commit a genocide to get to the resources. Now, at this point, the British friend, the European model for a very long time relied a lot on invading another country, stealing the resources, and then building an empire out of that. China's like, actually, you can pull that off if you can just sit and negotiate. That's something that in 2011, the then Greek finance minister learned quickly. When he came in office in a brief period, because he was only as a finance minister for less than a year, he quickly realized that the deal that was negotiated by his predecessor of the use of their main port, like we have the port of Elvis, the deal was one-sided. So he decided to take that deal, hopped on a plane, and the company that deal was made with was a Chinese company. What he did was hopped on a plane, went to Beijing, sat with the executives of that company and told them, you know what? I'm so glad we are doing business with each other, but let's not lie to each other. This deal benefits you more than it's benefiting me. So, I want to renegotiate the terms. And instead of being told what, you know, instead of being told what, you know, what Mexico was just told last year by the U.S., well, you signed the agreement, well, we're not renegotiating anything. You signed the agreement, therefore, well, we're just going to bulldoze everything. We'll get to that example in a few. Yanis Varoufakis flew to Beijing, sat with the executives of, you know, of the company. I just forgot the company that's, you know, that was operating, but he told them this deal benefits you than it's benefiting me. So I'd like to renegotiate. Now, to his surprise, and he says this in his presentation. Now, to his surprise, they said, okay. And one of the terms he emphasized in his renegotiation was, we have a lot of subcontracting here. Let's reduce that. And you guys are not investing a lot in the Greek community. Let's also change that. And they changed that, hopped on his plane, and landed back in his country, and everyone is happy. Mexico, on the other hand, back in 2023, their president decided, you know what, this genetically modified maize, which is used in one of the staple food in Mexico, tortillas, this genetically modified maize is causing a lot of health problems for my people. Now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to pass a law in my country to ban the use of genetically modified products, genetically modified seeds, and then empower local farmers to grow as much natural seeds as possible. Oh boy, did now they ended up finding themselves in a legal dispute that the U.S. won last year in December, and even right now, Mexico now has no option but to keep using genetically modified maize because of the trade agreement they have between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The trade agreement says, well, you're going to use my maize. That's what the trade agreement says. Therefore, I don't care how my maize is disadvantaging you. You signed a contract saying that you will use my maize. Therefore, you're going to use it. Now, this is why a lot of people say, this is why you see this is doing PR for China. That's public relations for China, because everyone will tell you, well, when you sit across the table from Chinese, they're going to listen and you can negotiate. But when you sit across the table from the West, it's kind of difficult to tell what they're going to do, because for them, if you sign that document, well, too bad. The way that power, or more like economic power, is achieved globally, or more like was achieved until the rise of China was, just go there, flex your muscles, and then, well, make sure that you have as much side of the deal as possible, which is very predatory. But, yeah. And that whole is sort of like, that whole method of operation in terms of global dominance seems to be crumbling. But still, an army is needed. Not wanted, needed, it turns out. Now, back to FIFA. Hosting rights to the tournament has been awarded to Argentina more than a decade earlier. Now, this is the 1976 World Cup. But Videla and his closest confidant recognized it as a key instrument for maintaining their power and putting down dissidents. With a deeply troubled economy suffering under the inflation rates topping 300% and armed opposition from leftist guerrillas known as Montoneros, winning popular support at home and abroad as seen in critical in short. Now, well, what happened was, what happened, you know, what basically happened in short was, just a few years after overthrowing a democratically elected leader, Argentina, with the FIFA's blessings, hosted the 1976 World Cup. Not 1976. It wasn't until yesterday when I found out that Argentina had a female president that was overthrown. I know. Look, I know we like to look at our shoulders and say, you know what, this has to do with, you know, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, human rights. No, it has nothing to do with that. Of course, that's, you know, that makes a perfect cover story. But oh, come on, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I would dive into the 1920s, during the, more like when, when the feminist movement was, feminist movement was gaining momentum, how it was used by private interest to get as much women as possible addicted to their products. And so I'm telling you, you can tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself, but profit triumphs everything. And I'm proud of how I can be able to. I pride myself of my ability to ruin people's mornings. The type of morning, not the other one. Okay. Thank you. Now and then, let's go to the one very fascinating World Cup. The Soviet Union announced that the Soviet Union refused to play Chile in a World Cup. When the Soviet Union refused to play Chile in the World Cup, the Soviet Union announces that because of its opposition to the recent overthrow of the government of Chilean President Salvador Allende, it will not play a World Cup soccer match against the Chilean team on November 21. This is 1973. Now, 1973 with the overthrow of Salvador Allende and the imposition of Augusto Pinochet, another dictator. No surprises there. Chile hosted, Salvador Allende was elected, was democratically elected. Democratically elected. Now, but he was overthrown and then replaced with Augusto Pinochet, a dictator. The same way that would take place in Argentina in 1978. So you have Argentina, you have Chile, 1973. Chile, overthrow Chile, replaced him, but still participated in the World Cup after a legitimate government overthrow. They participated in the World Cup. Now, because, they were going to face the Soviet Union, but the Soviet Union was like, we are not going to do that. And by the way, the pitch that they were going to play on, that is where some of the atrocities were committed. I mean, it just, clean up everything and, score. And by the way, in all these stories, FIFA laws are in place. In other words, when you make the rules, they don't apply to you. I should start making rules. There's a beauty of making rules, because if you make them, they don't apply to you. Now you'd think FIFA would have banned Chile from participating in that World Cup, or banned Argentina from participating in the World Cup, because, they all just did the exact same thing. Overthrow a government, overthrow a democratically elected one, replace them with a dictator, participate in the World Cup. Argentina, overthrow a democratically elected leader, replace them with a dictator, participate in the World Cup. Chile, same WhatsApp group. Israel is still going to participate in 2026 World Cup. A lot of people are calling for the banning, but nah.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. Tunit. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses, are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Where was I? International law, don't get me wrong, that's my favorite field of study, and I love it so much, which is what makes it very painful to just look at global politics and see just how pointless the whole, the whole idea of international law is, and just how little of it applies, and how it's, partially applied in terms, how partially it's respected in terms of its application. And this is not just on a United Nations level, International Criminal Court level, International Court of Justice level. even in sports. International law does not apply. It's all about who has the most power. If you have the power, you can do anything and get away with it. If you don't have the power, oh my God. It's a human nature thing, because even on a national level, even if you don't look at it from a geopolitical standpoint, even if you look at it on a national level, you see the exact same thing. Those ones that are more powerful and have money can easily get away with anything. Those ones that don't have power can easily get into trouble. Easily. If you know a guy who knows a guy, it's very easy for you to get away with something. But if you don't know a guy who knows a guy, oh my God, the way that the way that the police are going to run around looking for you. In other words, both on a national and international level, you can see the partial application of a lot of pieces of legislation. It's very easy to arrest Helmut than someone who has the right surname, and the police will be like, "Hey, what's his name again? Hey, don't play with that family. I think to arrest that one, we first have to call them and say, honorable, we heard that your son, allegedly, did something illegal, and we just want to bring him in for questioning. Do you know who am I? Honorable, we're sorry. We're not going to investigate, so the whole thing is allegation after all. But if a Helmut breaks the same law, that's when, flex their legal muscle now. No one is above the law. If we don't uphold the law, we'll all descend into anarchy. That is true. This is not just in Africa, by the way. This is the world over. I'll just look at something that was covered by a large part of global media. What did Donald Trump and Joe Biden have in common? They both came to office and pardoned people related to them, gave them presidential pardons for them to get out of office. Now, in other words, if you committed a crime with Hunter Biden, boy, are you screwed. Because, well, he is a father who just came in and said, Papa is president now. As his last act as president, he's just going to say, presidential pardon for your son, get out of jail. And by the way, before we start saying, that's just the abuse of power, let's not kid ourselves here. A lot of us in Joe Biden's position would have done the exact same thing. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is a very fascinating guy, because if I did not get the story wrong, it sounds like he pardoned his son's father-in-law. Man, that's one heck of a family to get married in. That's an excellent move. Like, that's how you watch each other's back. So, again, I don't really like pointing this out, but because, well, I'm a comedian and I can point it out, I just enjoy doing it. Actually, yeah. Let's remove the part where I said I don't like, I enjoy doing it. Now, with all this, Time magazine compiled a list of countries that were all, that ended up being banned out of the international body. Let's start with Russia. In February, FIFA and UEFA banned all Russian clubs and national teams until further notice as a result of the war in Ukraine. Pressure has been mounting from countries, many European teams, as much as England, Poland and Sweden, has already said they refuse to play against Russia in addition to the Russian men's team being barred from the World Cup. And the women's team could not play in this summer's Euros 2022 competition. Now, you see, this is this is international law being applied. If a country is involved in war, bend them out. Except that's what it looks like on the surface. But moving on. Next you have Kenya and Zimbabwe. Typically countries are banned temporarily due to governmental interferences or issues with a national federation overseeing the sport. That's what happened with Kenya and Zimbabwe earlier this year. Now we're talking about, now this article is coming from 2022. Kenya's sports ministry shut down the Football Kenya Federation after allegations that funds has been misused. Zimbabwe's Football Association was suspended by government officials following allegations of fraud and sexual harassment of female referees. Oh, Jesus. Now, and then you have South Africa. FIFA suspended South Africa in 1961 in response to growing call from the anti-apartheid government to boycott South Africa. Now, the country's law at a time banned mixed race sports team and required foreign countries participating in international competition held in South Africa to send all white teams. Imagine the nerves. Following their suspension from global soccer, South Africa was later banned from participating in Olympics, international cricket, and the Davis Cup, a tennis championship. FIFA reinstated South Africa's membership in the early 90s when apartheid was dismantled, and in 2010 the country hosted the tournament. Now, see, international law applied. FIFA and UEFA banned Yugoslavia from playing in the 1994 Europe and the 1992 European Cup and 1994 World Cup following United Nations sanction amid the subdominated government aggression, in the Balkans, particularly towards the former Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is the work of Slobodan Milosevic, among other buddies of his. Of course. Now, this is one of those events now that led to the bombing, to the bombing of Belgrade, with the Chinese embassy being caught in a crossfire. Now, again, Yugoslavia. And this is a country that's broken apart, by the way. It's a non-existent country. Chile. Now, Chile would not play in qualifying game in 1994 World Cup held in the US after a dramatic attempt to steal a spot in 1990 tournament from their rival Brazil. There you go. A Chilean goalkeeper Roberto Rojas appeared to be hit by a flare thrown from a stadium from the Brazilian section while Brazil was 1-0 with 20 minutes left to play. A victory or a draw would have secured Brazil's World Cup spot. Although Rojas was seen bleeding and the game was abandoned, a subsequent photo revealed that he had not been hit by a flare. He had cut his own head while using a razor blade concealed in his gloves. I mean, that's a whole another level of loving soccer. Cutting yourself with a blade. For the World Cup? Man. Talk about patriotism. But, well, it seems like, now, because of that called, that cheat code, FIFA was like, nah, that's cheating. Here we follow the laws. We don't know. Kuwait, 2016 Kuwait had to forfeit a qualifying match for the 2018 World Cup against Myanmar. FIFA had previously suspended the country's football association, alleging government's interference in the country's local football association. The ban lasted more than 2 years. FIFA banned Mexico from participating in 1990 World Cup held in Italy because they included four average players in qualifying games for the 1989 World Youth Championship. The suspension lasted 2 years. Myanmar, in 2011, a team's fans were violent during the Asian qualifying match against Oman. They threw rocks and glass bottles at the referee, Omani players, and the visiting coach. The Omani squad eventually escaped to the dressing room to stay safe. Now, FIFA awarded Oman already up 2-0 in the game, a victory that saw Myanmar eliminated from the 2014 World Cup. Myanmar team was also banned from competing in 2018 tournament, but the ban was lifted ahead of the tournament.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor. This is
moving on. You have now then you get to the controversies. There are many historical examples where FIFA has been has not banned countries committing abuses. Notably, in 1938 World Cup, Nazi Germany participated. Unbelievable. Actually, it's not unbelievable now that I've read the history. In 1978, Argentina both participated and hosted the tournament despite the military coup 2 years earlier. Now, the stadium where the World Cup final was played was only a few miles away from the military detention center where political prisoners were kept and tortured. Okay. Now, some of the political prisoners later recalled hearing sounds from the stadium, people saying, "Go! Nice!" It was one of the horrible, horrible situations. I know, but, well, unless you are threatening my interest, we can be friends. Until you threaten my interest. Now, this year, we're talking about back in 2022, sweeping anti-government protests in Iran had led to calls from some activists, including Iranian athletes, to ban national soccer team from the tournament, even if not all Iranians agree that that a ban is the most effective form of protest. Well, but experts note that banning soccer teams based on their country's political record can set a thorny precedent that may be applied unevenly, since many countries engage in human rights abuses such as India's discrimination towards Muslims, Israel's harsh treatment of Palestinians, or even host nation Qatar's treatment of immigrant workers. Now, you see, this is about knowing a guy who knows a guy. If you know a guy who knows a guy, international law doesn't apply. If you do not know a guy who knows a guy, international law must apply. This is where you are seeing now, I'm so glad, I'm so glad on the Iran-Israel conflict that, Luis Theroux made the documentary before the whole, exchange of fireworks between Israel and Iran. Because that documentary went to show that a lot, not all, this is where we are missing the point, a lot of Israeli settlers have a very twisted mentality on how to solve a problem. Because a lot of them were calling for the annihilation of everyone, including Palestinian kids, because, well, they are the future enemies. Well, you want to guess who thought that was an idea? Nazi Germany thought he could justify killing all the Jews, including children, because, well, they are the future enemies. There is nothing. If you can justify indiscriminate killing, I don't care who is dying. If you can justify indiscriminate killing, you can't hate Hitler. You can, because that's what he called for: indiscriminate killing. Now, I say this for both supporters of Iran in this conflict and supporters of Israel in this conflict. Because when a lot of a lot of people that are siding with Iran, are the ones that are running around writing. And by the way, if you just follow Iran's Twitter page, they have been very, at least if you follow Iran's Twitter page, 90 to 100% of actually all the all the Twitter posts on the Iran Iran's military Twitter page that I've seen, they have been very careful in how they be actually not careful. I think they understand what they're doing and what they're what they're posting on that page, and they are using the term Zionist, not Jews, which is interesting. And again, you can easily understand that once you realize that Iran has a very large population of Jews that live side by side with Muslims, and they don't have a problem. So, which is why, if you just look at if you just look at the at Iran's Twitter page, Judaism is the term they are using. Zionism is the term they are frequently using. Jews, they're not using that. Which is, which I thought was very interesting. Because they understand that using Jews will imply that they are also going to have to, they are also against the Jewish population they have in their country. And like I always say, if you are going to, if we are going to just say, let's now use Israel's domestic and, more like domestic or foreign policy to hate all the Jews, we will be terribly wrong. Why? Easy. Like I said, Iran has a large Jewish population. They know that, it's not the Jews as an ethnicity they have a problem with. No. It's, it's more of a Zionist type of ideology that they have a problem with. And it wasn't until yesterday when I was watching Noam Chomsky's lecture that he gave sometimes in 2011 when I learned that there is something called Christian Zionism, which is older than Judaism type of, than Jewish Zionism. It's like, wait, there's such a thing as Christian Zionism? Now, that's actually, that's actually one of my favorite Jew. And Norman Finkelstein is one of the Jews that is a very open critic of the Israeli government. He is a Jew. He criticizes the Israeli government. Noam Chomsky is an open critic of the Israeli government and the occupation. And so is Norman Finkelstein. So is Ian Pape, by the way. He's the, Ian Pape is the one that was, I think, quoted saying that everything is made in China these days. Except except bravery. Is it braver, bravery? That's made in Palestine. So, if you look at, for me, for those people that are, that are all over social media saying that we owe the German, we owe the German mustache guy an apology, and, it's been phrased like, it's been reframed in a lot of ways. But, if that is true, then we might as well just side with the current Israeli government. Why? Because, the current Israeli administration, especially when it comes to the Palestinians, have always called for indiscriminate bombing, and they have been they have done that. Well, just bomb everyone, irrespective of their age, irrespective of they have a gun or not. Just bomb everyone. That sounds like there's a guy that did that in Germany in the 1940s, actually 1930s. He was on the cover of Time magazine, by the way, before they start hiding it. So, the quote-unquote mustache guy that everyone is saying we owe an apology, his whole idea was indiscriminate killing of an entire race. And the current Israeli government if you have seen Luis Theroux's documentary, and among that bunch of documentaries, basically all you just have to do is look up a picture of Gaza, then you see that what they are calling for, have been calling for, is an annihilation of an entire race. There's a lot of parallelism there. And to this day, and when I go on social media and see someone saying that we owe, you know what, I'm very against what the Israeli government is, the Israeli government is doing to Palestinians. But I think we owe the mustache guy an apology. There's a lot of contradiction there for me. You do realize that that guy called for the annihilation of every Jew, including those ones that are in Iran, and we have a Jewish population here. We have a Jewish population in a lot of different countries, most of them that are against what's going on in Palestine. So you are calling for the annihilation of those ones too. Like, at this point, you know, your moral compass is just as questionable, if you ask me. It doesn't make sense. You can't be against Netanyahu, but what Hitler did is okay. Really? Like, annihilation of an entire race, for one. Hitler was, let's annihilate the whole race. And Netanyahu's foreign policy, you know, domestic and basically foreign policy is, let's just go to Gaza and bomb everyone to smithereens because, well, they are future enemies. Huh? Like, look, the point I'm trying to make is, if you're against, what the Israeli government is doing in, you can't be against what the Israeli government is doing in Gaza and then side what the, you know, what Hitler did. It's a kind of very, a lot of contradiction in terms. Because there are a lot of people that you are actually calling for to be harmed, but they are also on your side. I know. It's geopolitics is a little tricky. It's a little tricky. That's like Africans coming together and say, because of colonialism, let's rally up all white people and then bomb the heck out of them. Okay. You know, given the right, terribly wrong type of dictator in office, you can actually pull that off. Unfortunately, this world we live in is actually that sick. You can do that. But I have a question though. Just one question. This is where I don't like our history books now. Do you know that there are white people that were killed in Mozambique and Angola, targeted by the South African apartheid regime because they did not agree with what the South African apartheid regime is doing? One lady was, the Israeli apartheid, not the Israel, the South African apartheid government on this one, was very creative. Genocidal maniacs nonetheless, but very creative, I'll give them that. Because a lot of the people that were killed outside of Africa, outside of South Africa. There's one lady I think that was killed in Mozambique, and there's one guy that was killed, killed in Angola. There's one lady that was killed, that opened a parcel bomb. They will send you more of a package, but then they wired some type of IED or C4 somewhere in there, and when you open it, it blow up. She died with her kid. She was white. One was Jewish. That's why I'm telling you that this whole thing has nothing to do with, superior race or, human rights or women's rights or LGBTQ rights. No. Let me just, give you a very simple example. You can be a woman. You can be a woman. Just be a woman. And be a member of the LGBTQ if you stand in between the interest of the people that are supposedly protecting your right. Oh, you're going to be in the crossfire. Really bad. I know. I read it too. Then I decided, you know what? Since it ruined my day, I'm just going to go there and ruin everyone's day too. Now, I think I've been successful in that department. I think I've been successful. We're going to take a short commercial break in a few seconds. And on the other side, I sign out. And, we meet again tomorrow. But now, the official sign-off will be on the other side of the break. The world is run on power, not law, unfortunately.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepare,
Paratus. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Two minutes past the hour of 11, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I know sometimes I get carried away and I become very, comedy and everything becomes secondary. But that's because I feel like a lot of times we miss the point when we are looking at geopolitics, and that happens to be my favorite subject. And, by the way, again, if there's one thing to pick from this, though, is that the laws... George Orwell, again, he was right. All animals are equal, but some animals are better than others. And we see this on a state level. We see this on a family level. You go to a family function. When a last born shows up with a vrupa, she's treated like she's the last born. And when you are the firstborn and you don't have a vrupa, you are treated like you are the lastborn. If lastborn can show up with a vrupa and they are treated like they are the firstborn. You know, culture and all that, jargon type of traditional perspective goes out through the window. So, laws don't apply, to everyone equally. Unfortunately, both locally, continentally, internationally, it doesn't. Not in sports, not in banking. The biggest money launderers are Western countries. But, poor countries like Namibia are being grey-listed. I know. The banks, before you start saying this is a black and white issue, a black people versus white people issue. Actually, it's not. The 2008 financial crisis, a lot of small businesses in the US were not bailed out by the government. They were left to die, but they did not have anything to, they did not contribute in any significant way towards the towards the 2008 financial crisis. It was the big banks that, that did a series of terrible investments on purpose. And those series of events led up to the 2008 financial crisis. But when the financial crisis came, those banks were bailed out, and the small banks that did not do anything to bring about the that economic chaos, they were left to go down under. I know, ask the Lehman Brothers. It's about knowing a guy who knows a guy. The whole race thing is. It plays a role, but it's not, that role is not as big as a lot of people think it is. Because if you look at the multinational companies, if you just look at their shareholders, you see that their shareholders are coming from all kinds of different tribes, races, and religion. You look at, just pick any multinational corporation and you look at their board, and then you see that, they have Muslims there, they have Christians there, they have Jews there, they have, they have atheists on that board. They don't care. And then you have poor people that are like, for them, it's a big deal. Like, that explains why, for one, we are going to die poor, Khan, the dot broke. Man, my Afrikaans is on fire.
Is that even correct?
It is correct. That's my second wife, whispering, criticizing my Afrikaans like she can speak Afrikaans. It's so good. I have two wives. One of them have, actually understand Afrikaans, so that way. So, because if we are ever threatened, at least they will be a translator.
You guys will speak in Afrikaans, or gossip in Afrikaans,
or not gossip. No, the things are, I can't understand Afrikaans, and she cannot understand mine. But it's both Afrikaans. I know. So, how's the weekend?
Hi, good morning, good morning.
The weekend was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was indoors. How was your weekend?
Same here. Lovely. Although, I was here on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I didn't have a weekend. She owes
now
me,
imagine.
She owes me food.
Imagine, you only did it once. Now think about us who did every weekend.
I don't know. It's like, this life no balance. So 7 minutes past the hour of 11, and I parked the bus here until tomorrow. Same.
No, let me tell you about how my weekend was.
Your weekend was good indoors, or did you go out there? Do I have to buy a gun and go and kill someone?
No. I was just indoors because I have a visitor. Did I tell you I have a visitor?
He or she?
He. He's 9. He's 9 years old.
Oh, whew.
So I have a 9-year-old visiting me for the holidays. So we're just indoors watching. We are waiting for payday so we can go to the cinema and probably go experience Kapana for the first time, because I know it will be his first time.
Cinema?
Yeah.
I'm planning on going to watch Mission Impossible. I haven't seen it yet.
Is it?
Final Reckoning.
Oh, have I not watched it? Because the thing is that the reason why I don't even go to the cinema anymore is because I found somewhere to watch these new movies. So it's like when they are showing in the cinema, they are available on that site.
Pirating.
Yeah, so that's where I usually watch. I don't have to go to the cinema. But I have to take this little person so when he goes back home, he has stories to go tell.
You know what a lot of people something about cinemas that I thought a lot of people knew, but it turns out not a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not know that there are cameras in cinemas.
There are cameras in cinemas?
I don't know about this one, but I wouldn't be surprised, because I found out that back in 2016 or 17.
What are cameras doing in the cinema?
Don't ask me. Security, of course.
Oh, okay. So it's like CCTV cameras.
Yeah, CCTV cameras.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And because, believe me.
But now, what time do they capture? Is it the time we go sit or the time we are leaving?
The CCTV, obviously. It's live. So with security guards monitoring.
But it's dark in the cinema.
Oh, yeah. That's what a lot of people think.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the cameras are, they can see through that darkness.
See, a lot of people actually find, you know, I came, now if you go on social media, especially on TikTok right now, you will be surprised as to how many people did not know that they can actually be CCTV.
I also didn't know.
And a lot of people have actually done something, you know, they are going like, hang on a second. There are cameras in there.
Yeah.
I did something in there. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, you poor thing.
And now when they say they did something, like, is it, what is it? It's like the other.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Look, that's not very difficult to do. In cinema.
In the cinema.
It's really dark.
That's the thing. Oh, my God.
With a
goodness.
Lot of.
Yeah, you have. You have actually saved me.
You're welcome.
No. You have actually saved me. What?
Honestly, I don't know about these ones here. But I know
it's
that
possible.
And
it makes sense as a security measure, right?
Yeah.
They could be cameras, which it's very possible. It could be. Wow.
So you wanted to do something despicable?
I like to try things.
I wouldn't risk it.
I like to try things, so I wouldn't even think about not trying anything in the cinema. I would definitely. I'll be like, it's so dark in here. Why not?
One thing is, a lot of people that go to movies, how do I put this? Couples go to movies like all the time.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. And couples and darkness,
it's like
doing something damn magnetic.
It's like can't we try something here?
I know
it's dark.
Well, you're giving the security guard free CCTV. Homeboy is like, oh man, like you do.
Oh my God, wow, you have actually saved me big time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Right.
And I'm sure there's also somebody out there who's listening and they didn't know this. And
they're going, wait. Huh?
So they are not going to try that. I think we can try another alternative.
I really hope there's no one going, hang on a second. We did something in there.
Yeah, if you did something, just know that the security guard probably go back to that and watch.
Yeah, most probably went like, hang on a second. He's doing it wrong there.
Yeah. They were definitely giving a commentary like,
Nah,
it's not giving.
All right.
Wow.
Well, if you didn't, now you do.
Now you know. Thanks to Helmut. Wow.
You're welcome. Oh, thank heavens I did not.
Yeah, no, I also, I've never went to the cinema as a couple.
Yeah, me too. I've just, like, never.
Yeah.
No, okay, hang on a second. So, I think, I have.
You have?
Yeah. But I'm terrible at multitasking. And when I sit to watch a movie,
mm-hmm.
I make a terrible...
So there's no way you'd even think about, let me put my hand in the warm thighs.
I make a terrible boyfriend when it comes to movies. First of all, I like watching sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And I want to follow each and every single bit of the story.
Oh.
I don't even like...
So sci-fi. Even if I try to distract you, you wouldn't get distracted.
You have no idea how many times I've gone to the movies and came home with popcorns.
Like you don't eat the popcorns?
No.
Oh, I love those popcorns.
I mean, I eat them, but to the point... you see, it's the plastic. Those plastic, they're very noisy. So I will just eat some from the beginning, but mm-hmm. then get absorbed into the whole movie thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
As we eat
popcorns.
I love them so much with that vinegar flavor.
Yeah.
Salt. It's the best.
Yeah. Well, if you did something, chances are very high. I'm not saying it happened.
But they should be very disciplined. They should be very disciplined because they are not exposing those videos at all. We could have been seeing videos from Steak and Echo, you know.
Well, there are protocols, obviously, that are guiding that. Yes. You don't just take a snippet and put it on social media.
So, obviously, no. they are really disciplined in that area. Uh-huh. Maybe they also don't want us to know that they have cameras.
Maybe that. Maybe. I mean, if you know a guy who knows a guy that works for CCTV, they're going to most likely tell you, well, yeah, actually, I've seen you.
Definitely.
I've seen you come in there with, you know, with three different girls.
Naughty guy. Or if you are suspecting your partner of cheating and probably they go to the movies, you just go to that camera guy and go pay him money and tell him, check for me this face. I want to see this face. And then you just see that face coming in with different,
Did I just create a side hustle for these guys?
Mm-hmm. It's possible they already do it, but maybe people just don't think that far. Like, he could have gone to the movies, or she could have gone to the movies. Yeah.
I don't like CCTV.
I also don't like CCTV.
Mm-hmm. All right, Caesar, are you flying solo today?
No, my partner is coming.
Oh, okay, now. Yeah. Right, until tomorrow for me, actually in the afternoon.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.